We have a bunch of these up here, these rocks, and they've been up here for a while. And every time I think about rocks, and I get this image of little kids throwing rocks. This was my oldest son Jordan's favorite thing to do when he was a kid, was to throw rocks. Like, and the best was when we went to a creek or a pond or a lake or any of those kind of places, and there was a bunch of rocks. It was like better than anything on planet Earth. He would be over there picking up the rocks and chucking them into the water. And if other people saw, if other little kids saw him, they would join right in, right? Oh, look what he's doing. Let's throw some rocks. This is not uncommon. You put any kid in front of a lake or a body of water with rocks, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to pick up a rock and throw it in the water. It's just what you do, right? It's just fun. I see a bunch of nodding. Yes, this is very true. And so every time I see these are river stones, like this. It's the image that pops into my head. And then Caleb followed suit too. And I mean, you could put them outside with a bunch of rocks, and if there was nothing around, you could just leave them out there for hours, and then you just chuck rocks, and then they go pick them up and chuck them back, and then just, I mean, forever. And when we were in front of a body of water, like if one made a really good splash or they threw one really far, and as they got older, when they learned to skip them and they got really, really far, they would do this. It'd be like, high five me, Dad, high five me. It was fun because we love holding things in our hands and then letting them go. We're starting a new series this morning on worship. What is worship? And this is going to be a little bit different than any series we've really ever done, because I want to look at least 6 words in the Old Testament that have to do with worship. Unfortunately, oftentimes in church circles, in Christian circles, we interchange this word worship with singing praise to God. And that's just like one aspect of what it really means to worship God. And so we want to do a series on what is worship. And we're going to be looking at several words in the Old Testament that relate to this concept of worship. And so this morning, I want us to focus on worshiping with our hands. Worshiping with our hands this morning. We're going to focus on this word, yada, in Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And so above, you'll see the Hebrew script. I'm going to use the English pronunciation of it, if that's okay. But I also wanted to give you the script to understand that what was originally written was written in the script you see before you. And this is the word yada. The original meaning of this word yada means to throw, or to shoot, or to cast, or to cast down, or to throw down. That's where the original word comes from. So to shoot an arrow, or to cast your nets, or cast something down to let it go. That's where the concept comes from. So these little kids out there throwing rocks, they're casting, right? They're letting go, they're chucking. Shooting an arrow at an animal that would provide food for you, right? So there was a shooting, and then a response was something that you needed. Or casting the nets into the water, eventually you would get fish, something you needed. And there was also this concept of letting go of things that are holding you back. That's where the original word comes from. And nobody really knows when this started getting interchanged with the concept of worship. But because worshiping God always entails something physical, whether we realize it or not, we're all connected. Our physical, our emotional, our mental, our psychological, all of us is woven together. And at some point, this word started getting interchanged with really two thoughts. One was to confess the name of God, or to confess sin. And then eventually to give thanks to God, or to praise God. About 18 different times in the Old Testament is used to confess, to declare that God, the Lord God, is their God, or to confess sin. And majority of the rest of the times it was to give thanks or to praise God. They would say, yada, and their hands would be up, yada, yada, yada. And so I want to look at two of these two this morning. So first we're going to focus on the concept of confess or confession. And so if you'd open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, we're going to look at that one first. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 1. I want to read this, the first nine verses here for you. It says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. And it goes on, and then in verse 21, he receives an answer from God. So I just put this into context just for a second, that Israelites went through a season where their kings and their leaders did not want to listen to the Lord God anymore that they followed. And so God allowed them to be taken into captivity, first by the Assyrians, then by the Babylonians, ultimately the Medes and the Persians. And that's where we find ourselves here. The Medes and the Persians are in control over Babylon, and this is Daniel residing in Babylon. And notice first in verse 3, he pleads with the Lord God. There's an acknowledgement that the Lord God is his God. So he starts there. And then he says, Lord, the great and awesome God. And then he acknowledges, we have sinned. Yada, I confess that we have sinned. So there's an acknowledgement of who God is, and second, there's a confession of the sin of the entire people. They acknowledge, and it lands with the acknowledgement that God is merciful. We have done all these things against you, and for some reason, still despite all that, we're still your people. You're merciful to us. Yada, we confess that you are God. Yada, we confess that we have sinned. And there's a corporate aspect to this. All of worship there's personal, but more importantly, there's corporate, that this should not be done just by yourselves, but with others, is the concept here. I don't know if you guys have been following along, but there's a court case going on Officer Chauvin, who is charged with the murder of George Floyd. And I've been kind of following along, and as every person comes up to testify, they raise their right hand and they put their left hand on something else, right? And they swear to tell the truth, so help them God. And my brain always goes on these like rabbit trails, like where does this stuff come from? So I went on this rabbit trail on raising your right hand in regards to swearing an oath. And where it comes from for us, it goes back to the 7th century London, when people would often lie in the courtroom. And those overseers, those judges who were involved, got sick of wondering whether or not somebody was going to tell the truth. So they started branding people on their palm with the crimes that they had committed. So if you were a thief, you got a T. you were a murderer, you got an M. And so when they went to testify, they had to show their palm, and the judge would know, based on their offense, whether or not they were to be trusted. And they had to confess. And he got to discern whether or not they were telling the truth or not. I love the fact that the Israelites were doing this thousands of years beforehand. They were raising their hands to the great judge, the God who created all, and Yada confessing, palms open. And the God who created them knows every single thing about their heart, mind, and soul. And the reality is, for those who put their faith and trust in Christ, we have been marked by Jesus. And he sees his righteousness upon us. So when we raise our hands in worship to him, it's as if there is an R on the palm of your hand that says, declared righteous by God. We confess that he is Lord. We confess that we are unworthy, and we start worship from that posture. Let's continue. Then we have worship as giving thanks or praise. Yada, let's give praise, let's give thanks. Hands raised high in praise and adoration to God. We're going to look at Psalm 107. This word is used all throughout the Psalms. Almost every single psalm it's mentioned in. Like I said, like 93-something times this word is used. But it is not the only word that's used, and we're going to be looking at the rest of them. But Psalm 107, starting in verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by the straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." So let's just look at this for a second. First, we're given praise because his love endures forever. It doesn't last for a season or a time. Even when we're disobeying him or not following his ways, he still loves us. He allows us to choose our own path, but he still loves us. In verse 2, it's that he rescues us from the foe when we're in trouble, when we're in distress, when we're struggling. He is right there, ready and willing to grab us. He delivers us from distress, from hard times, in verse 5. Verse 8, he gives us what we need. Verse 10, some turn their backs in the darkness, but when they cry out to God, he is right there. Verse 15, his unfailing love. In verse 21 and verse 31, they all say, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let's yada him because he's worthy, because he created us and he loves us. Let's yada." I am fortunate to be the uncle of several little nieces. And My wife currently watches two of my brother's kids and my brother Micah's daughter, Mickey. Every time I come in the door, she's like, "Uncle Jubby, Uncle Jubby." And this week, she was very excited because my brother Matt and his wife Tina had a new baby, baby Gio, and she had to tell me all about it. So I come in the door, and I don't know if you're familiar with this at all, but when little kids, especially preschoolers, want your attention, they will grab you by the face and hold you tight. And so she grabbed my face because apparently I wasn't paying attention. She was trying to tell me I wasn't really paying attention. So she grabbed me by the face and she goes, "Uncle Jebby, we're going to see Ava and Bio. Ava and Gio. We're going to see them." And then she got really excited. And I'm like, "Yes, we're going to get to see your new cousin." And she was all excited and we're dancing around the kitchen. There's something amazing about interacting with little kids whose whole world is wrapped around fun and joy and excitement. But one of my favorite things in the world is when I come in the door and my nieces don't have to say anything. My kids were the same way. They just do this. If a little kid comes up to you and does this, they don't have to say anything to you. It's international sign language for what? Go ahead, you're allowed to talk. Pick me up, right? And when you pick a little kid up who feels comfortable and welcome, they just melt into you and they snuggle in. I don't think it's any surprise at all that Jesus chastised those in the New Testament who don't let the little kids come to him. Because there's something about interacting with a child before they've been corrupted by this world. So the Israelites, when they're worshiping God, they couldn't help but raise their hands and say, "Yadah, Yadah. We worship you, God. We praise you. And we know that when we cry out to you and we give you praise and we give you thanks, you are there to pick us up." When they worship God, they couldn't help but throw their hands up because they were comforted by the one who created them. I wanted us to take a little bit of time in response to this this morning. I think there's a couple different ways that you can respond to this. The first is to take some time maybe to confess. Maybe it's been a long time since you said, "God, you're my God. I confess that you are my God." Or maybe you have some stuff that's holding you down, like a net or something that's weighing you down, and it just needs to be cast back to God, and you need to yadah, confess to him. Maybe, despite everything that's going on, you need to and want to yadah, thank him and give him praise for what he has done. So this is what I'm going to ask us to do. Everybody, if you would stand. Those at home who are watching online, if you would stand. And everybody would choose one of these. I realize there's a third. There's an aspect of struggle. Maybe there's a struggle with still confessing that he is God or confessing what's on your heart or giving him praise because it's been one of those seasons. So maybe it's a yada time of, "I'm really struggling with you even, God. I confess that I'm struggling, that I don't feel comfortable yada praising you." But if we would take some time right now to kind of ponder these, close your eyes, because this is about you. We're doing this corporately, but this is about what's going on in your heart, mind, and soul. We're just going to take some time here. And when and if you're ready to respond with yada, we can't yada, we yada. And so when you're ready, yada, and I'll pray for us. Lord, we confess that you are God. We yada. Lord, I ask that your peace, your covering would wash over those who are struggling to yada, confess that you are Lord. I ask that in practical, miraculous ways you would reveal yourself this week. Lord, we yada confess that we are unworthy, as the Israelites were, to even mention your name because you are holy. We confess that we are not pure. We confess that we have misrepresented your name to those we've come in contact with. So we yada this morning. And Lord, we yada, we give you praise because you created the stars and stuck them in the sky. You placed the sun and the moon. You made trees grow and water flow, and you made animals and people. You made us to yada you, to worship you. And so we yada and give you praise. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your compassion and your grace. We yada you this morning, God. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.